now, and this activity is not just for young people. We're going to do sink or float.
And don't worry.
Oh gosh, that's going to need a hand. Thank you. This is not going to involve any human beings in the fish tank. So, would anyone like to come forward? I have loads of items. This is going to be a random selection. Not just young people, but older ones as well. Anyone can come forward. The only thing is, stand to one side a second for me, Elliot. You have to say to me whether you believe your item will sink or swim. You got it? So you pick an item from the bag. You say, sink or swim, and then we'll see. You'll drop it through the hole in the top. Anybody else want to come and have a go? So, who'd like to be first? Yeah, go on, Aaron. Take anything you like. Right, turn around, Aaron. Show us what you've got. Turn around to everybody here. Turn around, good lad. He has got a yogurt pot. Okay? So, Aaron, do you think that'll float or do you think that'll sink? He thinks it'll sink. Hang on a second. How many people here think it'll float? How many people think it'll sink? I'm not giving the game away. Aaron, go for it. Drop it in, my friend.
Sink. Wait, what?
Ha-ha. Floats. Definitely floats. This thing is floating because, of course, there's air in there as well.
And
so we have a float. I should put that over there in the float pipe. Okay, do you want to go next, Elliot? Guys, can you just move to one side so that everybody can see? Head to what? No. Stand to one side. That's right. Now, show what you've got. We have an aerosol can. So, Elliot, sink or swim?
Sink. Swim.
You think it'll float? Okay. How many people think the aerosol can will float? Quite a few. How many think the aerosol can will sink? It is metal, isn't it? Anyway, let's see. Ah.
Yay.
Float. Definitely floats. Okay, thank you. Elliot, do you want to move to one side? Do you want to come over here? Next one. Hand in. Let's see what you've got. Actually, try not to look. It's more fun. You don't know what you're going to get. Oh, okay. Well, here we have a tin of tuna. Yeah, I have to admit, if I ate it, that's what would happen to me too. But let's not go there, since I'm allergic to fish and seafood. But there you go. Tin of tuna. What do you reckon?
We're going to go with, we're going to stay up, like float.
You think float? How many people think float, tin of tuna? A few of you. How many people think sink? Oh, sink thinks... Go for it.
Sink.
Nah. And I'm not rescuing it for obvious reasons, okay?
Yeah.
So the tuna has sunk. Do you want to come to this side, Jude? Okay. No. I want that one left. Move to one side, please, Max. Whichever side you're going to go. Tristan, what are you going to pick out?
Pencil.
Pencil. Okay, Tristan, what do you think will happen to the pencil? Is it going to sink? Is it going to float?
Sink, because it has no hair. I mean air.
Air. Okay. So Tristan thinks sink. How many people think sink? Oh, only a small number. How many people think float? Okay, Tristan, try it out. Sink or float?
Oh, no.
No. Maybe wood, and if it was a really big lump of wood, it probably would sink, but a pencil definitely floats. Thanks, Tristan. Come to this side for me. Okay, put your hand in the bag and pull something out. Oh, you got an apple. Apple. So, what do you reckon? Is the apple going to sink or float? She says float. How many people agree and say the apple will float? Ooh, probably the majority with you. How many people think sink? Smaller number. Most are with you. Can you reach or can Dad help you? Thanks, Mark. Go for it.
Oh, no!
Well, I tell you what, if it did sink, then apple bobbing would be a problem. Well done. It absolutely does float. Add it to the floaty pile. Do you want to go in the bag again? Reach him. Got a couple more, I think. There won't be enough for all of you, but there are other things I'm going to get you to do. Okay, now,
what is that?
Do you know what that is?
It's a lime.
It is, well done. It's a lime. Guys, just move back a second. This is a lime, okay? It's a lime. So, before you do, sink or swim. What do you reckon? Sink or swim? Why do I say that? Sink or float? Float. How many people agree that this lime will float? Interesting. How many people think a lime will sink? Well, we're fairly split on that. Probably more think float, but go for it.
Please float.
What?
That didn't spend any time at all floating. That nearly did sink quick. Sink. Last but not least. Oh, no, they've got two left, so we're okay. I've got something for the little ones to do. Don't worry.
Break.
Wait and see.
Okay.
Okay, here we have a stone. I had to stop myself shortly because I said sink Leica, but we won't go there. So we have a stone. So sink or bloat? Sink. How many people think sink? One might think so, wouldn't you? Go for it. Curiously enough, I reckon the lime went literally just as well as the stone. We have a last one. Go on, have a go. Let's have a look. That's a fish tank. We have a pen. So, show everyone the pen. It is defunct, by the way. It's an old defunct pen. So what do we think with this pen? Is this pen going to float or sink?
Sink,
he says. How many people agree sink? Okay, how many think float? That's about 50-50-ish. Go for it.
Actually, float.
It did sink. It was well gone. Okay, fantastic. Guys who've helped me, do you want to take a seat? The others who've come forward, stay at the front. Stay at the front. But the guys who've helped me, can you give them a round of applause? Right, okay, next thing. What about us? What about us? What about a human being on water? Can human beings like us float? And if you think the answer is yes, tell me how. Because we just saw somebody sink in our video. So can human beings float? And if you think the answer is yes, tell me how. Or say no. Can I have a volunteer to help me with this? Otherwise, be everyone. Mike, can you be my runner? Mike on the mic. Go for it. Somebody want to have a go? Can human beings sink or float? Oh, come on, guys. I'm sure as many of you go swimming. Go for Annie.
Float.
Yes, Annie, how can a human being float on water?
You lie on your back and put your arms out like a star.
Lie on your back and maybe do a little bit of movement. You can definitely float. Thanks, Mike. Can a human being walk on water? Let's just have a show of hands here. If you think human beings can naturally walk on water, so if you go down the pavilions this afternoon, you can walk across the water. Put your hand up if you think we can walk on water. Well, only if there's something underneath, maybe. You definitely can't. You need something solid underneath. Trust me, I tried walking on water when I fell off an inflatable at the pavilions once. They ended up putting the siren on. It was one of my most humiliating moments. And I have to say, I've never swum in that swimming pool since. But I want you to know that Peter did walk on water. This is really, really important. It's very easy to cut to the chase and say, well, he sunk. But actually, Peter walked on water. How on earth did he get into that position? Well, a bit of background. In Matthew 13, Jesus has been teaching parables. The parable of the sower, etc. And the disciples are inspired. Then in Matthew 14, they hear some terrible news. Herod's done something nasty with John the Baptist's head. We won't go into this. It is an all-age service. So they go on a bit of a downer. Then, just after that, Jesus feeds the 5,000. From 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wow. So we get this roller coaster. But at the time that the disciples are in the boat, they've just seen the feeding of the 5,000. Faith levels would be high. But I want to say to you that if you think your spiritual life goes up, down, up, down, up, down, so it was with the disciples. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Peter, let's focus for a minute on his faith. If you looked at the video carefully, what did the other disciples say to Peter when he's about to get out the boat? Don't do it, you bonkers, Peter. They're not showing a great deal of faith at all. Peter says to Jesus, if it's you, because they're still trying to work out, if it's you, call to me and I will walk on the water. And he does. He shows unbelievable faith. We do Peter an incredible disservice to say, gosh, what a lack of faith he showed. Would you get out of a boat in the middle of a storm and walk on water, even if you thought Jesus was out there? I wonder, would we really? I mean, I'm not good with water. That's why we go on holiday every year via the Channel Tunnel. And I don't think what we're going underneath. I hate boats. I really do. I hate boats. So no, you wouldn't catch me walking on water. But he had enough faith to believe in Jesus. No one else, when they saw Peter doing it, joined him, did they? Nobody else got out and joined him at all. They thought it can't be done. They thought he was bonkers, even though he was doing it. But Peter was going to have a story to tell.
Two people in history have walked on water, Jesus and Peter. And that means that Peter was doing something extraordinary. He'd seen the power that Jesus had. He was willing to put himself out there. They'd seen the power of the Holy Spirit working, casting out demons, healing people. And you know what? The challenge for us is God wants us to do the things, which means we too sometimes have to get out of our boats. But more on that in a bit. The key issue was doubt. The key issue was doubt. Peter doubted. He saw Jesus walk on the water, but he doubted. Why do you think he doubted? Mike, can you grab the mic? Why do you think Peter doubted? Can you give me any reasons? Because I'm going to explore three this morning really quick. Why do you think he doubted?
He took his attention away from Jesus and looked at the circumstances in which he was, and his fears overcame his faith.
Absolutely. Thank you. Number one is fear. There are two others, I think, which come in here, but that's fine, Mike. We're going to pause for a minute. We'll pause. So I'm going to explain this, then we'll move on and see if we get some more. Thank you, Peter. It's understandable that Peter became afraid. Winds and waves. Any of you ever been in a boat on a storm? In a storm even? The reason I can't stand going on a ferry is as a child, I went on a ferry to Jersey from Weymouth. We got caught in a storm in the middle of the night, travelling to, well, it was in between Guernsey and Jersey, as some of you will know very well. It was awful. The boat pitched and rolled. It was dark. I was terrified. I virtually, since then, have avoided boats like the plague. I don't like them. Only if it's a mill pond will you get me on a boat. Frankly, if I was going to Jersey or Guernsey now, I'd fly. You wouldn't catch me in a boat in a month of Sundays. It's really, really interesting. Fear is what was the big issue for Peter. But I want to talk a bit about fear. Faith and fear. Faith and fear aren't completely opposites. It's very easy to say that they are, and there's no doubt here that fear gets in the way. But actually, God sometimes gives us healthy fears. Anybody like to suggest what a healthy fear is? A healthy fear. Okay?
Fear of something that is going to do you harm. Yes. Like fire or something.
Absolutely. That's a healthy fear. Fear of fire. It could be, if you lived in Australia, fear of certain snakes and things. There is such a thing as a healthy fear. So we have to be careful. There is an appropriate fear. But fear, when it's stirred by the devil or people suggesting that you take your eyes off Jesus, that's another thing. So let's not sort of push all fear to one side and fear's just a bad thing. It's not. God can use appropriate fear. But I want to put out there a question to you in life. When you think about your life, are you more faith-filled? Or are you fearful about the world that you live in? Just take a minute out. With the person next to you, and if you've got a younger child, ask the question in the way that they'd understand. What's the driving thing in your life? Is it real strong faith in Jesus and what he can do? Or do you frankly look at the world about you and are really fearful? And actually a lot of what you do is driven by fear. Be honest. Just for a minute with your next door neighbour. Have a chat. Seconds. Okay, start to wrap up your conversation. The best things in life are on the other side of fear. Let me tell you a true story of something that we did 4 years ago on holiday. Here's our car. Let's go to Roomster. And we went on holiday to Western Germany. And we were very, very close to a very famous, perhaps one of the most famous Formula One tracks of all time. The track was the Nürburgring. And the Nürburgring is infamous because in its long original form, it's the place where Niki Lauda had his fiery accident, which disfigured him for the whole of his life. And in fact, he was very lucky to survive. And many people have lost their lives racing around the Nürburgring. But you can drive around it. If you pay 25 euros, you can drive around the Nürburgring. And I spent the whole holiday gradually winding myself up. Did I have the courage to do this? My family will verify the experience. It is somewhat weird. Anyway, on the very last day of our holiday, we drove to the Nürburgring. We did a bit of go-karting, didn't we? That was quite scary, actually. I found the go-karting scary. We watched some tracks go around the modern sanitized Formula One track. And then I built myself up to the point where if I don't do this, I'm going to regret this all my life. So we drove to the entrance. We paid our 25 euros. We signed a thing which said, you have no insurance. If you crash or someone crashes into you and your car's a write-off, you pay for it. I mean, it would have been the end of our holiday. It's as simple as that. We wouldn't have got back. And we entered onto the Nürburgring. And we drove, not the sanitized Grand Prix track, we drove the great big one through the forest, going past the curves where Lauda and others had had terrible crashes. Of course, very slowly. This is a Skoda Roomster. A lot of it is going uphill. I reckon at best I hit 50. But the big problem is around us were souped-up high-performance sports cars, which are going, meow. That was the terrifying thing. You'd be going around a corner and somebody would overtake you on the outside. We were small distances away from error. And actually, in the back of the car, my three children. Not just me and Fee, the three children. But we had fun, didn't we? Isaac actually took a video, which I'm not going to show you. It's more embarrassing because of my manic inane commentary. I was so uptight. But we did it. So if ever you see our boring Skoda Roomster and look on the back, you'll find a sticker. And it's not because I just fancied putting a sticker there because I visited the tourist shop. I did actually drive it. And can I tell you, I have never, ever, ever regretted driving it. I'd say it was the most exciting thing I've ever done. And yes, there were moments when I was absolutely terrified. But I did pray for God's protection. And you might think I'm a fruitcase. But I felt, I really want to do this. I did it. And you know what? Wow. I'm so glad I did. Go back to Will Smith. Often the best things in life are the other side of fear. When we live in fear, we block what Jesus can do through us. When we start to offer to God our fear, when we manage it, when we ask God to remove fears from our lives, we can do incredible things with Jesus as he leads. Mic on the mic. Another reason why it all went wrong for Peter. Why do we doubt? We doubt because of fear, but sometimes we doubt for other reasons too. Anybody like to offer another reason?
We don't believe.
Yeah, we've never seen it before. And in fact, I'm going to have that as my third point. We haven't seen it before, so we don't believe it can happen. Spot on. Can you think of another reason why you might doubt? And this is something that many of us will suffer with. You struggle with whether something will happen or not. So what do you do to ensure it does?
You organise your own answer to it. Or
you do. You connive it. You control it. Human beings are brilliant with control. Don't you like to be in control when circumstances are a bit difficult? Don't you want to control it in whatever way you can? But God loves it when we let go of our security blanket and trust in him. The problem is, we tend to struggle with letting go of control and living with uncertainty. 5 of the 12 disciples, Peter included, did what for a living? Fishermen. They were fishermen. So they would have been in countless storms. The Sea of Galilee was notorious for big storms. So they'd have lived with storms. What were they doing when you see them on the lake? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to do? Do you want to come around, Mike? Pop your hand up. What are they trying to do when you first see them on the Sea of Galilee? Some kids at the back there. What are they trying to do?
Don't
They're trying to cross the lake?
Yeah, they're trying to do it in their own strength. They're trying to row their way to safety. Are they getting anywhere? No, they are not. What should they have done? Perhaps. Easy to say. What should they have done? Anybody want to make a suggestion? Yeah?
Just stop rowing.
Stop rowing and actually let God be God. I think there's something fascinating. They've rowed all night. They're foolishly determined to plow on. They still think they can get to the other side in their own strength. Not being in control is scary. Time for another activity. I have a blindfold. And what I'd like to do here is go beyond just the kids. I'd like an adult volunteer, and I'd like a kid to help them. I want an adult volunteer. I'm going to go for the adult first. And the teacher and me is just going to stand here till somebody volunteers. Thank you, Annie. Annie, what I would like you to do is come forward. Can I ask you, my love, to take your glasses off? Could you put that blindfold over your eyes, please? Okay. Step forward about 3 paces.
That way.
Yeah, as you are. 1, 2, 3. Turn around. Lovely. And stop. Now, what I'd like you to do, Annie, is, and let's see if you can do this. I'd like you to walk back down the chair, down the aisle. Just 1 second. On 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows. And I'd like to see if you can walk down the aisle 6 rows without any assistance at all and sit yourself safely on a chair. Do you fancy doing that?
Yeah.
That's not the answer. That's the control. You don't really, do you? Health and safety would definitely stop me allowing you to do that. But you need a helper, don't you? With a helper, you can do this. So what I need now... Come on, Jude. Come on. And another one, yeah. We can have 2 helpers, are good. Is actually... 2 will be cool here. Come forward. Come forward. 1 go on one side. 1 go on the other. Now, your job is... Listen very carefully. Without touching... No. No touching. Sorry. No, you see, that's the control thing again. I'm sorry. Can't have touching. Without touching Annie, what I want you to do is guide her. Guide her down the church. When I say so. And guide her into here. Now, there are some obstacles in the way. Like Grandma's... Wheeler, okay? So there are some obstacles here. So the idea is not for Annie to hurt herself, okay? So you've got to go with instructions. Are you both clear on your lefts and rights? Could get very confusing, yeah? So, guys, nobody else in the centre here. Go for it now. The idea is, can you guide Annie here? Go for it. Brilliant. Can we give a big round of applause for our young helpers first? Let me give those a round of applause. Thank you. Thanks, Abby. Can we give Annie a round of applause? She trusted them. You can take your blindfold off. Thank you. And you can go back to sit. Brilliant. It's hard. It's really, really hard to let go of control. How did you feel being guided forward, Annie? Yeah, and thank you for doing that, because actually it's really, really good. I mean, I wear contact lenses all the time, and without those, I wouldn't see very far either. So actually, losing your glasses as well, that actually makes you naturally feel very uncertain. Brilliant. Uncertainty is difficult for us to handle, but we have a guide in life. We have the Holy Spirit, and yet so often we want to take back control. So, there's fear, there's control, and then finally... There's what Nigel said. It's impossible. We don't believe it can happen. We've never seen it happen before. Thomas, poor Thomas. Nicknamed Doubting Thomas. Totally unfair. Completely unfair. Thomas wasn't there when the other disciples saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. Can anyone paraphrase? You have to pop your hand up. Can anyone paraphrase, say in their own words, what Thomas said to the other disciples when they said, oh, Jesus is alive, we've seen him. What did Thomas say? Jackie over there has got a hand in the air for you, Mike.
I'm not going to believe it unless I can touch where the nails went and put my hand in his side.
Brilliant. That's a great paraphrase. Thank you. But Jesus, when he appeared a week later, said to Thomas, Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us, my friends. That's us because we live with the Holy Spirit. It's really important here that those of us, particularly with analytical brains, sometimes don't rely too much on your analytical brain. Your analytical brain can say, that's impossible. Walking on the water is impossible. This is impossible. That is impossible. And we shrink things down to say, it can't be done. My analytical brain with the Nürburgring would say, don't drive it. You've got no insurance. You could have a crash and kill your family. And I recognise for many of you that would definitely be the stopping point. But for me, there was something about, I really want to do this. And I really felt comfortable to do it. And we did. And the car survived. And we're all still here to tell the tale. Doubt will squash anything miraculous because we don't believe it. So the answer is, to combat doubt, what? You've already said it, Peter. Can we go back to Peter? What is the answer, Peter down here, Mike? What is the answer to combating it? What's the critical thing?
Faith. Faith.
And keep your...
keep your eyes on Jesus.
Absolutely, thank you. Peter looked at the wind, he looked at the waves, he started to sink. Despite the experience of walking on the water, he took his eyes off Jesus. Whatever we are facing in our lives, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. If you think you can live this life in your own strength, then I encourage you to think back to a time before you knew God and the difference that knowing Jesus in your life makes to you. I tell you what, I don't know how I had the strength to get out of the bed in the morning before I knew Jesus. There were so many fears, there were so many things to control in my life. But when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we know that we will be safe. He will enable us, help us. We will encounter the incredible. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Great. What does it mean in practice? How can we today fix our eyes on Jesus? Because I'm not going to meet him in Tesco's. I might be encounter his spirit in Tesco's, but I'm not going to meet Jesus when I go shopping. So how do we practically fix our eyes on Jesus? Any suggestions? Go for it. Jan, start us off. And then Jan over here, Mike.
Reading our Bibles.
Read our Bibles and keep his promises. He makes promises to us. Read your Bibles, keep his promises. How else? How else?
Worship.
Absolutely. Worship builds faith. Over here, Mike. Yep. Worship builds faith. It's important.
Regular daily talking with God through prayer.
Yeah, thank you. Regular daily talking to God through prayer. Yeah, do you want to go to the back? Thank you.
Personal relationship.
Absolutely. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. He is going to guide us. Remember the blindfold game with Annie down here? Listen to the still small voice within. Listen. Look at the waves of life. Look at the problems of life, you sink. Look to Jesus, your guide and saviour, and actually, extraordinary things happen. Look at our problems, our fear is increased. Look at Jesus, our faith is increased. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Let me close. Where are you today in your life? What is going on for you? There may be people here today who feel that they're sinking. They're sinking under all that is going on. You may feel that you're going under. There is just too much. There may be people here who feel that they've got very little hope left. But no, help is very, very near. Far nearer than we imagine. All that we have to do is what Peter did. What did Peter do as he started to sink? He cried, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Down comes the hand. Jesus says, call to me in your time of need. I will hear you. I will answer you. I will keep you from sinking. I will lead you on to do better things. We don't have to wait till we hit our limits to call out to Jesus. We don't have to wait till we feel we can't cope. But if we are at that place, still cry out to him. He will reach to you where you are. Remember that hand was straight down. And I love that film clip because what Jesus does is he cradles Peter and he reassures him. And he encourages him. Oh yes, there's a conversation about faith to come. But there's reassurance. The God that I know is like a shepherd, as the Bible tells us, who leaves the 99 sheep to rescue the one. Because he's desperate to save the one. The God I know is like a father who runs towards his prodigal son, because he's desperate to have a new restored relationship with him. The God I know reaches down to a sinking hand and pulls us to safety because he's desperate for us to grow in our trust in him. The God I know reaches out to us with everything he's got, the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus walked on the water and he calls us to walk out too in faith. And as we turn to him, call out to him, he rescues us. He stills the storms in our life. So the challenge for us is, may we respond and respond quickly in our lives. When God calls us to do something daring, will we be prepared to go? I have a closing prayer. I hope you can read that. Shall we read this together and say this prayer together as our act of commitment? So let's say together, dear God, thank you for rescuing us from the stormy seas of life. Help us to remember to trust in you for strength and power. Help us to keep our eyes and hearts fixed on you. We can do nothing without you. Thank you for giving us strength. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you are struggling with things today, there are people here who would love to pray with you. Please go to the back where they'd love to, pray for you. Thank you.